And welcome to another special edition of Anti-Psychiatry Radio. This is your proud anti-psychiatry host, psych survivor host, Don Weitz, for the March 12th, 2010 edition on Revolutionary Radio. You're tuned to 88.1 FM CKLN. Tonight, friends, this is another special edition. I have a special guest, David Carmichael, whom I will introduce very, very soon. And just to get a little background and context, some of you know I've spoken out against the serious adverse effects of psychiatric drugs, including the so-called safe and effective and antidepressants like Paxil and Effexor and Prozac and the other brain damaging drugs called neuroleptics, otherwise called antipsychotics. That's a misnomer because they don't combat anything so-called psychotic. Anyway, this man, David Carmichael, is a widely revered and respected, and I'll tell you why, but you will find out as we go along here. David Carmichael is a survivor of Paxil. He was given Paxil when he, and like millions of others, get down or labeled depressed. And very shortly after that, I think it was maybe a second bout, or anyway, he was depressed for a while. The doctor gave him Paxil, and soon he ended up killing his son. Very tragic, but wait till you hear story. I won't say anymore. Welcome to CKLN, to Anti-Psychiatry Radio, David. And you've got a hell of a story to tell, so you can start wherever you want to.
Well, Don, I appreciate the opportunity to share this story. It's like an important story for a lot of people who are very quickly prescribed, and in many cases unnecessarily, these antidepressants known as selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs. And in my case, I didn't have my first major depression until I was 2003. I was prescribed the drug Paxil. I went on it, and actually, I weaned myself off it when I had a full prescription. My doctor didn't tell me any of the side effects. Well, 4 months later, I was quite sleep deprived now that I'm not 46 years of age, and I put myself back on my full prescription, thinking that I knew all I needed to know about the drug. Immediately started to have suicidal thoughts, suicidal planning. I thought if I took a bit more, it would be better. I would get rid of those thoughts. It actually took me to a state of what's called psychosis, which is sort of like being in a dream state. And, you know, when you're in a dream and you wake up and you realize just how unreal that is. Well, that's really like being psychotic. You're sort of in this state where you're delusional. It's false fixed beliefs. It's just crazy thinking when you come out of it. And so 12 days after, I increased my dosage from 40 milligrams to 60 milligrams, which was 19 days after I started the drug again. I strangled my 11-year-old son, Ian, who I miss very, very much. And as much as, you know, it's one of those tragedies that it's very difficult to overcome, my wife, daughter, and I decided that we're going to do whatever we can to try to prevent tragedies like ours.
Yes.
And, you know, I really feel I have a responsibility to both my children. I have a 19-year-old daughter, Jillian, and she's my day-to-day motivation, and she's probably what kept me alive when I was I was charged with first-degree murder, so I had to go through the criminal justice system and then the psychiatric system. And now I'm free, though. I've got an absolute discharge.
And you were discharged. You got an absolute discharge, my understanding, and from the media accounts and from your own account is that it wasn't, you know, it was because of the drug, right? It was because not criminally responsible, is that it?
Right, I was not criminally responsible. I think what's interesting with this case, there's evidence that we've never shared that was collected right afterwards where the drug actually shot me into almost like a manic type of state where my IQ was higher than normal, my concentration was higher than normal, my energy was higher than normal, I was functioning way beyond capacity. That's also when my mind was quite delusional. But I was calm and I was organized. People would not have known anything was wrong with me. It was like I just got shot out of my depression and I you know, I took my son away thinking, you know, that he's in living hell, that he had permanent brain damage, he was going to kill my daughter and make my wife have a nervous breakdown, hurt other children. And I did not know right from wrong. And when you don't know right from wrong, in the United States, they call it insanity. And in Canada, they call it not criminally responsible. So I did come out of my psychosis 2 weeks after I was in jail, and it was the most excruciating 3 days of my life. I cried for 3 days straight, realizing what I had done.
You were suddenly you had stopped at that point.
Yeah, I was still
taking the Paxil.
Yeah, when I was,
while you were in jail.
Right, when I was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, I was in London, Ontario, and I was taken to jail, and they didn't give me any of my drugs. So I was still psychotic for 2 weeks afterwards. I mean, you can become psychotic when you increase your dosage or you go on it for the first 30 days.
Yeah.
Seem to be the most concerning periods, or if you suddenly stop. And
yeah.
So I was still psychotic for 2 weeks. So for me, it was like a cloud lifting. And I honestly, when I finally realized what I'd done was so wrong and my delusions were starting to break down, most excruciating 3 days of my life. So, Ian was a wonderful boy, a real little BMXer, young little athlete, and he's my inspiration. My daughter's my day-to-day motivation, but I really feel I have a responsibility to both of them to not be silent.
Yeah.
You know, to deal with the shame. I've had to work through the guilt.
Yeah.
And you know, to really try to make sure that we can prevent tragedies like ours, suicides and homicides or murder-suicides. Yeah.
Well, this is, you know, it's good you have your family. You've got that support, as you say, from your daughter and your wife. I want to just read a bit of this blurb about the warnings from GSK, the big pharma manufacturer of this drug. I call it killer drug or suicide drug, as others call it. It's in the same class as Prozac, as we know. Here's a warning. It says, suicidality warnings, clinical worsening and suicide risk. This is from the manufacturer, but this was, I think, around 2005 or 6, because they kept this hidden, friends. They sat on the suicide risk of Paxil and the homicide risk too, as you'll see. Here it says frequent effects, nervous system, emotional lability, vertigo, infrequent, that's dizziness, abnormal thinking, alcohol abuse, ataxia, dystonia, that it's weird movements that you can't control, dyskinesia, same thing, euphoria, which is close to being manic, hallucinations, hostility, hypertonia, and it goes on and on, in coordination, so I guess you can hardly walk, paranoid reaction, manic, which you mentioned, and, well, paranoid, you mentioned the delusional aspects. It's all here that off the web, friends, it just... You can Google davidcarmichael.com to get a lot of other important, relevant information that he's posted. And it talks about abnormal gait, convulsions, delirium, delusions, right here. So this is a drug that's marketed as so-called safe and effective in Canada and the United States. Now, David, did the doctor who prescribed, or who raised the dosage, I guess, to 60 mil, did he warn you at all or tell you about the so-called side effects, which are actually the direct of any of this that I'm reading?
When I was first prescribed the drug in 2003 at 45 years of age.
2003.
Right, he didn't share any of the side effects. And I self-medicated, which is something you've got to be very careful doing. I had known that he had prescribed 60 milligrams before. I knew other people had been on 60 milligrams. I didn't think for one moment that I'd be shooting myself into a lottery of 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 500, or now we're finding 1 in a few hundred who could become severely delusional on the state, in that state, on that particular drug. And I think, you know, for me, I mean, my family's been on a journey since 2004 that I wouldn't wish upon any family. And on December 2009, I got my absolute discharge and right out of the system now. So I'm speaking out a little more, and I actually put on, in addition to davidcarmichael.com, I actually put on a video on YouTube, 7-minute video. Part of it is a dedication to my son called greed, fraud, and Paxil.
Uh-huh.
And I really ask a very important question, which I think is something that really needs to be raised, and I think it will be raised at the PsychOut conference in May in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not criminally responsible for murdering you, maybe someone else is, and maybe the Attorney General in this province should be investigating Dr. Charles Nemiroff from Emory University, or formerly from Emory University in the United States, who for 6 years got all types of research money from the U.S. government at Emory University to conduct independent clinical trials on Paxil, and they're limited by how much money they can receive as a consultant. So over those 6 years, he said he had only received $35,000.
Only.
And now he's disclosed that he actually received $960,000. He's been found out. And maybe the Attorney General in this province should be investigating GlaxoSmithKline and Dr. Charles Nemiroff. And the real question comes up, if they were aware of this, it goes beyond consumer fraud. It almost comes down to criminal negligence causing death.
Absolutely. I personally, and I've looked at, I've read a fair amount of studies, but mainly listening to people like yourself who've been prescribed these drugs without their informed consent or without the doctor fully informing them or warning them. And these guys are killers. As far as I'm concerned, these drug pushers masquerading as doctors should be charged with, since they failed to warn you of the risk and don't talk about alternatives to their so-called safe and effective drugs, they should be criminally charged. And unfortunately, we have a gutless, we have a soft justice system. Always put quotes around justice in Canada, or say just us, to refer to the elite boys. It's mainly men, but there are women psychiatrists who do the same thing, who prescribe these heavy duty drugs and fail to warn. But the thing that gets me too is that, as you know now, the psychiatrist, well, first I wanted to ask you something. Where were you absolutely cleared? I mean, in what kind of forum was it? Well, was it a court?
Now, it's called, what happens is, once you become not criminally responsible, which goes through the formal court system, and it was a joint resolution between my defense lawyer, the Crown, and the judge, I went to the Brockville Mental Health Center, where I've been, and I still live in Brockville at this moment, although I think we'll be moving sometime soon. And we're sort of at the auspices of the what they call the Ontario Review Board, which is a panel of five people.
Yeah.
There's a judge as a chair, there's a lawyer, a community person, psychiatrist, psychologist, and each year they do an evaluation to see where you're at. And if you're not a risk to the public, if you're not a significant risk to the public in terms of public safety, they are obligated to provide you with an absolute discharge. We have never really gone after the drug in my particular case because, and the psychiatrists have avoided that because if we'd have, the evidence that my lawyer collected afterwards, we did not use that in my criminal defense case because to be not criminally responsible, it's got to be a mental illness that triggers a psychosis. So the way that it was at the time in my trial was that the major depression triggered the psychosis. That way I became not criminally responsible. If we had gone after the Paxil, even if there was enough evidence, which would be really tough to prove, that it was the drug that actually caused the psychosis.
It was the drug.
Well, and I've had DNA evidence from Australia since then to verify that. But a Paxil, a prescribed drug, falls in the same category as someone committing the criminal offense on LSD or cocaine or crack or any other voluntarily used drug, whether it's illicit or prescribed. So based on the Criminal Court of Canada, there's no defense for prescription drugs. So we were much better off to use a defense that the major depression treated the psychosis, psychotic depression, even though we knew quite well that it was probably the drug.
Right.
It never played out on my criminal trial. It never played out through my Ontario Review Board. But it is playing out now because I can now speak out more publicly without any repercussions.
It's good you are speaking out.
And we're not filing civil litigation against GlaxoSmithKline because because one of the things that they're very good at is suppressing any evidence that presented at trial, even if they are found guilty, even if there was some type of judgment. What happens is that what is presented through your expert witnesses is not allowed to leave the courtroom. So it really has a contrary effect to public education. And my wife, daughter, and I decided that public education and saving lives is much more important than a settlement with GlaxoSmithKline.
Saving lives, yes. But here's the thing, though. Did you know, and I think I emailed you this, that CAPA, the Coalition Against Psychiatric Assault, you know, I've been involved with them for years. We wrote in your defense, but I don't think it went to a court. It was a press release.
Okay.
When we found out about they were trying to jerk you around in court, that we wrote
you did send this to me, by the way.
I'll give you the hard
copy. I remember. I have it.
You already have it.
I remember reading it.
And it was signed by Dr. Bunny Burstow, who's chair of CAPA, and Angela Bischoff, who's with the Tucker Gomberg Activist Fund,
yeah.
Her partner, the late, great activist who,
yes.
Yeah. Who suicided.
Another tragedy.
Right.
Drug-induced tragedy.
And here's the way we ended. I just want the listeners to know, because I don't think I've read this on CKLM. To prevent further tragedy, first we said that we are deeply concerned that there was little, if any, testimony or evidence presented about the high risks of suicide and violence or aggression triggered by the antidepressants, by the antidepressant Paxil, which David Carmichael of London, Ontario, had started taking again only 3 weeks before he killed his son. Paxil might well have been a major factor in driving Carmichael to violence or murder. Now, that was a press release, and then we ended. I know there's no time to get to read the whole thing, but to prevent further tragedies, and I think we sent this to Health Canada, we call upon Health Canada to immediately issue black box warnings. Black box, we were told, is not issued in Canada. That's the most severe warning that against a drug or any kind of medical device. Warnings for all antidepressants and clearly label the risks of suicidal ideation, suicidal attempts, and violence on packaging and package inserts, product monographs, and other relevant information material. This information should be standard for all pharmacies, written by Health Canada, which it has not done yet, and given to patients every time they get a prescription for antidepressant drugs. We also ask the media, if anybody's listening from CBC and the justice system, to take note of the ongoing role of the antidepressants in suicide and murder. Now, so if you want a hard copy, it's yours, but I know you have it by email. Everything is electronic.
I've printed a hard copy already.
Now, let's talk.
First of all, I appreciate your support back then, by the
way.
Every little bit of support was helpful.
Because we knew, we smelled a lack of justice, and we know the bias of the courts toward the medical model, and I'll say it. Judges and the lawyers are so brainwashed into thinking that whatever the shrinks say, they're experts. They're not.
I think they're afraid to challenge them because they are the medical experts.
They're the experts. They got an MD degree, and they can do no wrong. Of course, as we find out, there's more. We've got some time yet. So let's talk a bit about, if you don't mind, the role. Well, GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, as I was mentioning, is being sued also for the drug Paxil causing birth defects and off-label marketing, which means selling the drug for a purpose for which it wasn't tested or proven safe. There, get this, friend, 600 cases, lawsuits, I believe, against Paxil alone for causing birth defects. Can you imagine that? And women are a great risk and of this drug in particular. Of course, anybody who gets the drug is a great risk. But do you maybe you want to comment on the role of GSK or big pharma generally in promoting these killer-type drugs?
Well, you know, I think the unfortunate thing, and GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, is one example, but I think big chemical drug pharmaceutical companies or big pharma in general, you know, they really do value shareholder return over human life. And they may say, well, and this is their common excuse, well, but it saves so many more people and you get the odd sort of really severe adverse side effect. Well, you know, we're finding out now through emails, and there's a woman who just wrote a book called Confessions of a Rx Drug Pusher, who used to be a pharmaceutical sales rep, Gwen Olson, and she's got a website as well. And, you know, we're finding out just how corrupt and the emails, the slander, the fraud, the misleading.
Exactly.
It's all about bottom line. And, in fact, There was recently a meta-analysis, which really is, they take a look at a lot of the literature and concluded that these SSRIs, these antidepressants, are only effective in a small number of people with major depression. For the most part, people with mild to moderate depression should be looking at other means of dealing with their depression. They should be looking at things like exercise, healthy eating,
right,
and all the types of things that we would normally say, psychotherapy, talk therapy.
Talking.
All of that, just to try to deal with the depression instead of going into a doctor and in less than 3 minutes of prescribing an antidepressant. They only know in most cases what the sales reps tell them, and the sales reps come from the pharmaceutical company. So to me, the big issue is doctors. You know, doctors, first we have to realize doctors don't know everything. They come across like they do, but we've got to start to question doctors and question them and question them.
Good point.
And the second thing, I think doctors have to recognize that don't depend on the information from the sales rep. You've got a 3,000-page manual that we call the CPS. Anything that you've read at all that has any life-threatening side effects, you better dig into that CPS, because all those side effects...
What's the CPS stand for?
It's a Compendium of Pharmaceuticals and Specialties. It's a guide for doctors. And everything you read in the monogram there, which came out in 2004, 2005, some of that, for Paxil, goes as far back as 1996. But doctors don't read it. They just the sales reps come to give them gifts.
Right.
Here's a nice gift, you know, here's a nice pen, put it in your pocket.
Perks.
All the perks. So, you know what, we have to give health back to Canadians. We need major health care reform, and people need choices.
Right.
You know, right now you go to a doctor, everything is funneled into what? It's funneled into prescription drugs.
Then it's a pill for everything.
A pill. We need a sieve where, you know what, maybe you should talk to a holistic nutritionist. Maybe you should talk to a psychologist or a psychotherapist, or maybe what you need is a good massage.
Okay.
You know, so to me, these drug companies, you know, in terms of, you talk about corporate ethics, you know.
What ethics?
That's a valid comment, what ethics. And I think we're learning more and more, and we've been reading about it more and more. It just, unfortunately, didn't help save the life of my son.
I know, and there have been hundreds, thousands, probably millions of tragedies. But you know what? You've got the courage. I just want to thank you, as we're nearing the end a bit. But David, I've been talking with David Carmichael, who is Broken Silence, a very courageous man, speaking out against one of the most vicious drugs that can cause suicide and homicide and mania and agitation and so forth. Little Italy can make you go mad. And I'm talking about Paxil, friends. So listen, thank you very, very much. You're welcome back on my show. To see KLN.
We'll do a follow-up.
As a matter of fact, I'd like to do something. Maybe. Oh, I should mention that you, David, are on a panel, if I'm not mistaken, or are you going to presenting something at Psych Out, which I will say more about, the international conference to organize resistance against psychiatry. I'll say more about that. Yeah. David is a participant in...
The session I'm presenting is called...
A paper session, is it?
One of it is called Taking Our Health Back from Big Pharma-Controlled Governments.
There it is.
And I want to talk about criminal charges. Some politicians be charged?
Yes.
I appreciate the opportunity. I know you've got to wrap up your show. It's a pleasure to be here. And it's tough to talk about something as tragic as this, but it's important, though. And it's a responsibility I have to both of my children.
And thank you, appreciate this. And I'll get it out of your way. So you're welcome back, David Carmichael. Thank you. Okay. He's going to play. thanks, Mark, our first-rate technician here. And you're tuned to 88.1 FM, Revolutionary Red Radio, CKLN. This is your proud anti-psychiatry host on Anti-Psychiatry Radio, Don Weitz. Some of you, I hope, heard that interview that I had with David Carmichael, a very, very courageous man who was driven to by Paxil, triggered by Paxil. To kill his son, and has been absolutely discharged now without a criminal record, because this damn drug is so powerful, it can get people to do horrible things. You know about this and other so-called SSRI, serotonin reuptake inhibitor drugs like Prozac and Effexor and others, and we can't warn people enough. And David's story should be warning enough, friends. If a doctor prescribes an antidepressant like Paxil, challenge him or her, ask questions about direct effects, which are masquerading as side effects, and alternatives, non-medical alternatives. For example, diet, close friends, exercise, you know, lots of things are better than taking these drugs. And if people feel okay on them, it shouldn't be for more than a couple weeks at the most, to take perhaps the edge off anxiety or tension, if that's what people are feeling. On this show, I do not tell people what drug to take or not to take. I am simply saying that you should know before you put something in your body, whether it's a Paxil or a food that you're not sure about, what the effects are. Now, and you'll hear more about this, and I just want to wrap up with a very quick announcement. Mark is giving me the good sign here. And you'll hear more about the conference, the international conference that is being organized by an international committee called Psych Out, a conference for organizing resistance against psychiatry. You can find more about it by emailing Psych Out. That's P for Peter, S-Y-C-H-O-U-T, at utoronto.ca. U as in university. See, that's Psych Out, one word, at utoronto.ca, and you'll get a lot of information, and you'll find out the website. So I'm going to sign off for now, and stay locked. Don't touch that dial. From Maria Elena Escobar, Ventana Barrios, and pardon my Spanish, Elena, if it's not so good, but my intentions are good. So stay tuned, lock that dial, 88.1 FM. My special thanks to Mark. Thank you, Mark Brill, our first-rate technician, and to Susie Alvarez and Kristen, who are the producers of this, the spoken word of mouth. See you in 2 weeks. All right, take care. And stay well and fight for your rights and do whatever it takes to stay free. See you, friends.